greatest symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
Introducing first to my right, from Nice, France, weighing 236 pounds, René Goulet. His opponent, from Hawaii, at 237 pounds, Ricky Steamboat.
Yes, indeed, the steamer. But so many, many fans, a handsome young lad. And boy, can he get it on in the squared circle.
He sure can, I'll tell you. This Ricky Steamboat has made quite a name for himself all over the world.
Very unique individual style, Ricky Steamboat.
Well, he knows the arts, first of all. Then as far as his wrestling skill, he's certain. Uh-oh. Boom.
Look at that. All right. And coming out of the corner the hard way, René Goulet.
Let's remind you, Boston area wrestling fans, it's in 1 week's time on Saturday, June 22nd, for the WWF at the Boston Garden. A return intercontinental title matchup. Greg the Hammer Valentine beating the Junkyard Dog. Tag team title matchup. Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik defend against Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo. While Hulk Hogan defends the World Wrestling Federation title against Big John Studd. A night of champions, per se, the 22nd of June in the Boston Garden.
Back in the stadium for a while. Just can't imagine a man that weighs 237 pounds or 240 approximately what Steamboat weighs to have that kind of agility. He's just all over the ring.
Yeah, it's very unusual. He's just very different. He's very agile. His speed is tremendous. His skills are awesome. Then, like I said, with the arts, with that, he's an expert in those too. It just makes makes it pretty tough for an opponent to come anywhere near beating the likes of Ricky Steamboat.
Nice shoulder block. Over Goulet. Ricky Steamboat coming right back at Goulet. And there. Oh. Nice maneuver on the part of René Goulet.
What a bear hog. Wow.
Drilled the knee into the spine area earlier on. And René Goulet with a semblance of a claw hold on Ricky Steamboat.
Boy, look at that claw right on his face.
Goulet keeping the pressure on. I'm not too sure whether it's the claw hold or whether or not it was the reversed atomic knee to the spine that did the damage.
It must be a combination of both. I really don't know because this Goulet soldier is putting pressure on certain nerves in the head, causing blood circulation to cease.
But to wonder about the glove Goulet is wearing.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, besides, we don't know what's in that glove. But here's Steamboat. Now looks like he's in pain, but he's coming up.
Oh, downstairs goes Steamer. And again. Steamboat. Oh, my, forget it. As Goulet tumbles backwards. Two to the head. Steamboat trying to set up Goulet off the rope with a chop that was. off the rope himself. Bell with another chop to the forehead. Ricky Steamboat out on the apron, quickly to the top rope, just like a cat, turning around Goulet. Flying body press. He's on him. And he gets a three count.
Here is your winner, Ricky Steamboat.
Ricky Steamboat, and is he ever something in that squared circle? Saying hello to this capacity crowd, and they love him as they love him every place he appears. Wait a minute, Goulet from behind. Look at this. Ooh, Steamer with a right hand. Another chop. Trying to set up Goulet. Off the rope, back, body drop. Oh, my. Goulet takes a powder. Let's go back to a replay we saw earlier on.
And here it is. Goulet just getting up, and here comes Steamboat with that big flying press, and boom, and there it is, and one, two, three.
Sensational victory. Let's take you to the interview.
Hello and welcome to the Hogan Era Podcast. I'm your host, JP John Paz. This is, of course, a part of the two-man power trip of wrestling's podcasting empire right here on the TMPT feed. Each and every week here on the show, we're talking about the greatest period ever in the history of wrestling, 1984 to 1993, the golden era, the Hulk Hogan era. It is the era that made Vince McMahon a retired billionaire. When you think about the Hogan era and you think about the Hulkster being on top of the mountain, on top of that pyramid, you had so many great matches, moments, and feuds. You had guys like Rowdy Roddy Piper, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Andre the Giant, Big Boss Man, The Undertaker, Sid. Eventually, Ric Flair comes in and wants a piece of the Hulkster as well. I mean, we've run the gamut. We've talked about so many different guys throughout the weeks here. And this week will be a little different as we're going into a guy that did have a bunch of matches with Hulk, a ton of matches in the AWA, a bunch of matches in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and then, of course, had a match in the WWF, a non-title match during Hogan's World Championship title run. It was in 1984, and we'll get to that in a few minutes, but just one of those guys that's an interesting talking point here as far as Rene Goulet is concerned, is that what a long career he had, what a run he really had. If you think about it, I mean, his first match in the WWF, I mean, obviously we're talking about pre-Hogan era, was in 1971, and his last match in the WWF was 1987, and then he was a road agent slash producer for the WWF for decades. So, I mean, he had a long run in the WWF and was a key cog in the wheel there, a huge part of the machine. If you think about it, from a wrestler, then you become an agent, and you become a guy that was very, very important behind the scenes, being the producer of a lot of the matches, and obviously running most of the house shows. It's a pretty damn important guy to have, especially have around during the Hogan era. You went from basically the second part of the Bruno era, really kind of the Pedro Morales era, if you will, then the Backlund era, and then obviously into the Hogan era for Rene Goulet. When you look at Rene Goulet and his career, if you think about it, he did have some success in championship wrestling from Florida. He was a heavyweight champion down there. Had some success in Georgia. Was a tag team champion with the one and only Ole Anderson. Him and Andre the Giant teamed a lot in New Japan and had quite a run in the tag league in New Japan Pro Wrestling in 1981. He's a two-time tag team champion in the Pacific Northwest. He's been a WWA World Tag Team Champion. So, I mean, he's kind of run the gamut. He's been around a long time. And, of course, I think maybe his most memorable title or the most memorable win was the WWF World Tag Team Championship that he won with the one and only Carl Gotch. Interesting part about Goulet is when he passed away on May 25th, 2019, at the age of 86, the death actually wasn't reported for months. I mean, it was crazy how long. I remember I actually talked to Tony Garea at somewhere around that point, and he had mentioned that Rene had passed away. And I said, wow, we didn't get any sort of confirmation. Nobody said anything. And that wasn't really reported until December of 2019. So 7 months went by and nobody had reported anything. Maybe his family hadn't got it out. And maybe, Tony didn't feel like it was his responsibility to put it out there. But that was interesting. I always thought that was one of the things. That's crazy. When a wrestling legend dies, you know, it's usually like that day. For instance, we just had Don West pass away. R.I.P. Don West. And man, the media within minutes, basically, Mike Tenay reported it. Obviously, Don West's wife said it was okay to get it out there. Mike Tenay reported it, but it was just interesting that Rene Goulet basically went 7 months, a wrestling legend like himself, went 7 months without it being reported that he had passed away. So just an interesting little caveat there before we kind of get into his career, and we'll get into the run of Rene Goulet. So really, like I mentioned, first match was 9-9-1971 in the WWWF at the National Arena, District of Columbia in Washington, USA. Rene Goulet defeated the Black Demon. So, you know, he comes in. There's not much fanfare. He's just kind of Rene Goulet. And, you know, he's going to maybe have a bunch of matches with Jimmy Valiant and team up with Chief J. Strongbow a bit. He's going to wrestle and lose to Classy Freddie Blassie a few times. Wrestles, like I mentioned, his tag team partner, Carl Gotch, wrestles him a few times. They have a time limit draw. And then the big moment comes 12-6-1971, basically 3 months into his run. Madison Square Garden, New York, New York, Carl Gotch and Rene Goulet defeated Luke Graham and Tarzan Tyler. 2-0. The match went 17 minutes and 20 seconds, and that was their tag team title run. Pretty damn impressive run. Pretty damn impressive win, defeating, Luke Graham and Tarzan Tyler. Interesting when, you know, as he's going along and kind of continuing his run in the WWWF, he really, you know, is one of those guys that is not upper card. I wouldn't say a lower card, but I guess you can kind of safely put him right in the mid card. Like, he's going to get a bunch of wins. He's going to have a bunch of matches, but when you look at it, he's not going to be creme de la creme. He's not going to be like dominating the card, but he'll get, like, he's going to beat Johnny Rods and Sika, but he's going to lose to, you know, guys like Hogan and things like that. So let's go to talk about the Hogan stuff. I know this is pre-Hogan era, but just to give you some context and some background on his matches with Hogan, he has a bunch of matches, and they start from February 4th, 1980, and basically go to August 28th of 1980, and they have a bunch of matches. I'll run them through them quickly, but Hulk Hogan would defeat Rene Goulet every time out. So the first match was at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. Then we go to New Haven, Connecticut. Then we go to Portland, Maine. Then we go to North Bergen, New Jersey at the Embassy Hall. Then we go to Perth Amboy, New Jersey at the Perth Amboy High School. Then we go to a TV taping at the Madison Square Garden. On 4/21/80, Hogan defeated Rene Goulet in 3 minutes and 15 seconds. He beats him in New Haven, Connecticut, beats him in New London, Connecticut, Waterbury, Connecticut, Worcester, Mass., Albany, New York, the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh, PA, the Civic Center in Baltimore, Maryland, the South Yarmouth area in Massachusetts. That was, of course, at the Cape Cod Coliseum, really Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Then on the Prism Network, 8/23/1980 on TV, Hogan defeated Rene Goulet in about 5 minutes, 30 seconds. That's, of course, from the Spectrum in Philly, PA. Their last one-on-one match here in 1980 was in Fitchburg, Mass. Hogan, of course, gets the win. And then finally, some revenge from Rene Goulet as he teams with Andre the Giant, and they defeated Hulk Hogan and the Hangman via countout in Cape Cod. That is, of course, South Yarmouth, Massachusetts. That was, of course, 8/28/1980. Mike Hughes was the Hangman. So when you go through, and then of course they had a bunch of matches in New Japan Pro Wrestling, a ton of matches in the AWA, and really the last match, a part of New Japan, well, first the last match in AWA was on 11/6/1982. They were both a part of a 14-man battle royal that was in the Bradford High School in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Andre the Giant would win that one. Their last match as far as New Japan Pro Wrestling, Adrian Adonis, Andre the Giant, Rene Goulet fought Hulk Hogan, Antonio Inoki, and Tsutomu Fujinami to a draw in about 15 minutes, part of the Tag League 1982, and that was in Mikawa, Japan. So if you go to the Hogan era itself and you want to talk about Rene Goulet and getting into the Hogan era, we're going to kind of slowly creep in there as the Hogan era pops up. I call it January of 84, really, when it got kickstarted. And Rene Goulet's first match of the Hogan era, 1-1-1984, after, by the way, I kind of skipped over a little bit, but he was a part of the WWF all through 70s, 1980, 81, 82, 83, and now we're going to start in 1984, the official start of the Hogan era. And of course, the Hogan era starts off with none other than Tito Santana. Tito Santana would defeat Rene Goulet. The thing here is, Tito Santana, what a stalwart. And you wouldn't think necessarily of Rene Goulet as a stalwart of the WWF, but he really, truly was. I mean, you look at it, he was always there, it seemed like. You know what I mean? He was always one of those guys that kind of hung around, not, like I mentioned, not necessarily a main event guy or a main event player, but always somebody who you can rely on, very dependable guy. He's always on the card. He was a pretty good hand, pretty good worker. He was able to get over as a babyface, and he was able to get over as a heel as well. So 1-1-84, Civic Center in Hartford, Connecticut. Tito Santana defeated Rene Goulet. Rene Goulet exchanges some victories back and forth with Mr. Fuji. He beats the Tonga Kid. He loses to the Invaders. His tag team partner was Butcher Vachon. He loses to the Invaders again with his tag team partner is Tiger Chung Lee. Then Samu gets a turn, and him and Samu lose to the Invaders. So pretty much, he's going to be in a bunch of tag matches and going to take a bunch of losses to the Invaders, but he gets a bunch of wins over guys like ST Jones, Swede Hansen, gets a bunch of losses to the legendary Eddie Gilbert, of all people, and they do a time limit draw on 1-21-84, and that, of course, was on the Prism Network, part of the Philly Spectrum, Philly PA shows, and of course, we're all taped. We've talked about that numerous times on the show. You got to love that you can kind of go back, and a lot of it is available on YouTube when they have these shows that were televised, because, hey, the network isn't very reliable, isn't very dependable, and Peacock sure as hell isn't either. All these TV matches should be on there, and it's quite a damn shame that they're not. But thank God for YouTube, and thank God, you know, for those tape traders out there that were able to get a lot of this stuff out there that wasn't readily available to the public like it should be. I mean, it's kind of an annoying thing, and I know some fans, it may not bother them, but me, a guy that just, you know, loves content, wants to watch more wrestling, wants to see what's out there, it's kind of annoying that some of the stuff isn't on the network when they very damn well sure should be. If it's on YouTube, it should be on the network, and even better quality as well. So let's go to 3-3-84, Tito Santana defeating Rene Goulet in Baltimore, Maryland, as we're rolling through, heading to a big show on 6/21/1984, Maple Leaf Wrestling. This was televised, and this is available on YouTube, and you'll hear it at the end of the show. Hulk Hogan defeated Rene Goulet in 5 minutes, WWF Maple Leaf Wrestling. Of course, it was a TV show taped in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. So that was his big match as far as the Hogan era is concerned and as far as Hulk Hogan. Oddly enough, there was a lot of title matches during this time that Hogan was defending his title against random guys like Rusty Brooks, who we've talked about in the past. But for some reason, this was not a title match here against the Hulkster. Is a non-title match. They even make sure they announce it. Mean Gene, make sure he announces that the announcer is a non-title. But I don't know if that means anything, or if really Rusty Brooks or Johnny Rodgers, some of these guys should have been getting world title matches. But it's just an interesting kind of caveat to the Hogan era run, that initial 1,000-plus day title run that includes Rods and Rusty Brooks, but Rene Goulet, it does not count. It was a non-title match. All the other ones should have been, but they weren't. So just kind of an interesting note to throw out there. He does get a bunch of intercontinental title shots, and he loses to Tito Santana. He gets a world tag team title shot, 1/20/1985, part of All-Star Wrestling from Brantford, Ontario, Canada. The U.S. Express, Windham and Rotundo defeated Moondog Rex and Rene Goulet in 3 minutes, 30 seconds. Nice little TV time for Rene Goulet. He goes through the year of 85, and he has a bunch of matches against Bret Hart. He actually shockingly gets a win over Bret Hart before falling to him on a bunch of matches. He gets a win on a house show in Buffalo, New York, but on the primetime wrestling TV taping on 1/21/85, he takes the loss to Bret Hart in a 15-minute match, and that was taped at Madison Square Garden in New York, New York. Very interesting there. Gets a win over Bret in a house show, but on TV, he takes the big loss And as you're going through the year, he gets another tag team title shot. This time, him and the Demon lose to Barry and Rotundo, part of the Georgia Championship Wrestling taping. The very interesting tapings that went down when Vince bought out the TV time from WTBS Studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It didn't last long, but Rene Goulet was a part of the tapings. He lost the tag team title match to Windham and Rotunda there. As you're going through, him and Terry Gibbs will tag, and they'll lose to him and Rene Goulet, and Terry Gibbs will lose to Windham and Rotundo. Another All-Star Wrestling taping, again from Brantford, Ontario. He'll go through, and him and Johnny Rods will lose to the British Bulldog and Dynamite Kid, a.k.a. the British Bulldogs. Then he'll lose to him and Barry O will lose, him and Bill Dixon, a bunch of losses in a row to the Bulldogs. So he's one of those guys, you wouldn't say jobber guy, but you know, he was an enhancement guy helping the other guys get over. And really, as you're kind of roll through 85, taking a bunch of losses to guys like Uncle Elmer, Lanny Poffo, the great George Wells, Pedro Morales, the Killer Bees, Davey Boy Smith, Mad Dog Vachon. I mean, a bunch of losses as we're going through 85. Then as 86 rolls around, yes, he's still there. He's again in the enhancement role, taking losses to Danny Spivey. Again, Stevie Afi, Tony Parisi. He'll get a win over Steve Lombardi. Very shocking. He even gets a win over George Scotland. But then he's going to end up taking a bunch of losses to Scott McGee, Ted Arcidi, Paul Aroma, Tony Atlas, Billy Jack Haynes, King Tonga, a.k.a. Haku, the Rougeau Brothers, Blackjack Mulligan, Haku, Jerry Allen, as we kind of go through 1986, really his last match, part of the Hogan era, if technically speaking, 12-13, 1987, loses to Jerry Allen at a house show at the Cops Coliseum in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Then, technically, really, his last match was a Legends match. It was the Legends Battle Royal, the infamous Legends Battle Royal, Brendan Byrne Arena, East Rutherford Arena in New Jersey, 11-16, 1987. The Legends Battle Royal was won by the one and only Lou Thesz. And if you pay any attention to whatever's going on with the Macho Man Randy Savage through the history of the years, this was the Battle Royal that he wanted his dad to be in, Angelo Poffo. And for whatever reason, Vince was against it or didn't want him to be in it. But Macho Man, you know, and Vince, obviously, they got over it. And obviously, no harm, no foul. But Savage was pretty upset that he was never a part of Angel Poffo. That is, his dad was never a part of that battle royal. But I digress. As we talk about Rene Goulet, always a good hand, always a good worker. Like I mentioned, great territory guy, ran through the mill. You want to talk about Championship Wrestling from Florida, Georgia Championship Wrestling, Pacific Northwest, the WWA, of course, from the WWWF 1971 all the way to 1987. And then he was a road agent into the 2000s almost, working there in the WWF for a very long time backstage as a producer. You know, he had quite a run, a lot of interesting things to say. He was always that fun backstage or even, you know, to the ring, one of those fun road agents that would come down, Blackjack Lanza, Tony Garea, himself, and, you know, even Pat Patterson when he's out there. It was just one of those fun things that if you listen, Gorilla Monsoon would kind of always mention him or shine some light on him or even say stuff joking around and messing around with his hair or, you know, stuff like that. So Rene Goulet was one of those good hands, good guys to have around. Obviously had a long, great career in the WWF, and he was a part of the Hogan era, and I wanted to talk about that match he had against Hulk Hogan, taped on TV, available on YouTube, Maple Leaf Wrestling. It was on 6/21/84, Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Of course, Hogan gets the win in a non-title match, even though he was the WWF World Champion. So let's wrap it up and hit the plugs. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Head over to Patreon, patreon.com/tmptempire. Check out all the cool stuff over there. And then, of course, I implore you to go to TeePublic, tpublic.com/store/tmpt, and get your Hogan era t-shirt today. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Hogan Era Podcast. Happy New Year, everybody. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/tmptempire to become a patron, and also check out the website tmptempire.com and buy a shirt at prowrestlingtees.com. two-man power trip where the power lies, brother.
Veteran from Nice, France. And Goulet, this week in the World Wrestling Federation, has set his sights high. We are awaiting the arrival of his opponent. And listen to this crowd come to life. As Goulet peers toward the entryway, and momentarily, we're going to be seeing. Already, you get the feel of it. Yes, indeed. Here he comes, number one of the World Wrestling Federation, heavyweight champion, the Incredible Hulk Hogan. And in the background, fans listening to the Eye of the Tiger. This is an on-title matchup. Hulk Hogan, 203 pounds from Venice Beach, California. And Hulkamania is alive in the World Wrestling Federation. What a champion. Gene Okolodier along with Billy Red Lyons, and we're just about set for the matchup. Goulet, Rene Goulet, going against world champion Hulk Hogan in a non-title bout. Here we go.
On Tuesday, July 10th at 8 p.m., Maple Leaf Wrestling returns to the Brantford Civic Center, where you see such stars as Rowdy Roddy Piper, Dr. D, David Schultz, Rocky Johnson, the Wild Samoans, Cowboy Bob Orton, the Iron Sheik, Polish Power Ivan Putski, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, Sergeant Slaughter, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, Tito Santana, the World Heavyweight Champion Hulk Hogan, and topping it off, 7'4", 490-pound Andre the French Giant will take on Greg Valentine. Now remember, that all takes place on Tuesday, July 10th, in the Brantford Civic Center.
All right. Incredible Hulk Hogan, World Wrestling Federation's heavyweight champ. Give me a break, Goulet. You're not going to body pose against the Hulk. Oh, beautiful goal behind into a full Nelson by the veteran Rene Goulet. Some kind of a champion. You've got to agree with me on that, Billy Red Lyons.
Absolutely, Gene. Not only an incredible champion, an incredible athlete. Going up against Rene Goulet. However, the belt is not on the line here today, but the pressure is still on Hulk, because if he were to get upset by Rene Goulet, that would put Goulet right in the driver's seat for a shot at that world title.
Well, obviously, Rene Goulet, world-class wrestler, break of the full Nelson on the park of Hulk Hogan, and that obviously a source of frustration for Goulet. Hulk eyeball to eyeball with the French ring veteran. Former member, by the way, little trivia here, of the French Foreign Legion. Oh, and Hogan hangs on, and Goulet takes a little ride at the hands of the world's heavyweight champion. Good crowd on hand, enthusiastic. And Goulet making a smart move there, going for the ropes. Referee calling for the break, but Hulk Hogan, not to be denied. He just dragged Goulet right back into the center of the ring. That controversial glove on the right hand of Goulet. Back into the ropes. Referee calls for the break. And Goulet with the left to the midsection of the world champion. I do want to repeat again. Non-title bout reversal on a whip. Up, boom! Into the bear hug or the body vice. The world champion now has Monsieur Goulet in a very compromising position, but not for long, as Goulet rakes the eyes and face of Hulk Hogan. Billy Red Lyons, about the only thing Goulet could do in that position.
Yes, it was, Gene. And as you can see, Rene Goulet, he's thrown the rule book out the window. He went into his trunks. He has some foreign object or whatever inside of his trunks. Or he could have some rosin in there. He put it on his hands, rubbed the eyes of Hulk Hogan, and now he has the champion down on his back.
Out of course, that very controversial glove that Rene Goulet has donned on many an appearance in the squared circle. Back into the tights for what I do not know. Goulet tries a top wrist lock. Now an arm bar extension to the heavyweight champion. Oh, hair takedown. That was quite obvious from our vantage point. And Goulet vehemently denies any wrongdoing on his part. Oh, my. Come on, Goulet. Give me a break. You've got to be kidding. Referee totally out of position, but I'm not going to criticize the referee because in that particular case, I think the experience of Goulet, he made certain that he buffered himself from the sight of the referee. Booed into the 10th rib. And that one squarely into the ribs. Now the champion taking command with a couple of elbows. Oh, how about that move? And a leg drop to the shoulder of Goulet. Goulet right now begging for mercy. Rake in the back with the fingernails. Goulet counters. There's got to be something in that glove. I am highly suspect, Billy Bert Lyons.
Definitely something in that glove, Gene. And, you know, you and I have watched this Goulet so many times. And by now, we know that there's definitely something in that glove. However, there he is, has the champion backed over the rope. And along with the glove, he proceeds to bite Big Hulk Hogan.
Really taking it to the 302-pound world champion, heavyweight champion, heavy duty. He's got it all together. All the way from France, you can hear the words of René Goulet, one of the great European ring veterans, an accomplished amateur turned professional, and he has certainly made his mark in the World Wrestling Federation. Again, the pickup to the body, Hulk Hogan. He is 40 miles of bad road, and you don't want to cross this man in a ring. Look at this. Follows with an elbow after the whip, and Goulet down. And a Hulkster is upset. You don't want to get this man mad at all. Oh, you've got to be kidding. What a clothesline followed by a gigantic flying leg. And a beautiful yet somewhat unusual pin on a part of the world champion of this non-title bout. Hulk Hogan getting the Duke over René Goulet. Great champion by the reaction of this crowd. A very popular champion. Look at that. Is he something else? They call him the 24-inch pythons. What a fantastic physique. Hulk Hogan continuing his winning ways of the World Wrestling Federation. A very impressive victory for the heavyweight champion of the world.
It certainly was, Gene, and like you said, he's a tremendous athlete, and here we'll see him catch Goulet one more time with that clothesline coming off the ropes.
Well, it could have been three or it could have been 300, because right here, Hulk Hogan follows with a leg drop to the upper torso, and here I point out a very unique pin. He just kind of drapes the upper shoulders over the body of René Goulet, held him down for the shoulder pin. And Hulk Hogan getting the Duke over René Goulet in this World Wrestling Federation one-fall non-title event.